Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Both of us live in studio on an absolutely gorgeous Tuesday. Again, this will be the last show of the week for us. Darren heading off to Oregon. I'm heading to Colorado. Is this 1850? Because it looks like we're going to go try and find some gold.
I don't get the reference, but
because we're heading west. It was more like we're heading west type of joke.
1850, yeah, Wild West. Man, look, I am excited about it. Just got to have a lunch with our good friend J.C. Pearson. We were over a few blocks away eating because I saw you pull up behind me at the light. But, man,
What'd you get?
Oh, we went to IHOP. IHOP's
very – do you get, like, brunch or something?
No. I got some protein. I got a steak I could eat. Well, steak tips.
They have that at IHOP?
Mm-hmm.
Good?
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like 9 little chunk pieces of
whatever. Dude, when I think of IHOP, I think of pancakes, obviously. I think of breakfast. Yeah.
Well, I thought they changed it like International House of Burgers. I know it should be pancakes.
That was a joke, I thought.
No, I think it's serious. No, they serious. I mean, they do both now. They're serious about it. But no, I'm excited about it, man. Technically could have done the show tomorrow, but I fly out around 5 o'clock. But, you know, I got moves. I got to go get the haircut and stuff like that. So I got a few things I got to do. I've already done laundry. Basically, trade in the morning, go work out like I did today, shower, pack, fly.
Yeah, dude, I'm heading to a wedding, so that'll be fun.
Been to a track meet.
Look at us, dude. We're adults.
And I was telling JC, I was like, you know, he's like, man, you don't sound like you're excited. I said, I'm excited, but, you know, hell, if she PRs and runs a half second faster, I got to find the money to come right back out here to do it again 2 weeks later for the Olympic trials.
I say you just stay. Relax. Have yourself a time.
If the station would pay for it, I would be more happy to do it, but they're not, so no.
What's sporting? Well, I'm trying to think if you could cover Oregon football.
I don't think there's anything going on.
Well, I don't think so, but I'm just trying to say you could. Try to BS your way.
I have been trying to figure out. I wonder if we're going to. I don't know if West would want to have the contract with the Olympics because I'm wondering, you know, when the Olympics happen later in the summer, if we'll be preempted for USA basketball or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't try to be funny. I mean, I wonder, you know, because I wasn't here the last time the station did the summer.
Yeah, neither of us were here.
Yeah, so I don't know what, you know, I should have asked Chad that. That would have been cool to find out. I highly doubt they do, but let's see.
Lot of fun stuff to get to. We probably won't talk a lot of Royals because Jackson Cohar got absolutely shelled in his first career Major League start.
Works for me today.
Yeah.
Because I didn't watch the game. I was watching other stuff last night.
I watched it all because I'm doing baseball tonight on Sports Radio 810, shameless plug, from 7:30 to 8:30. David Leske will be joining me. We'll break down the Jackson Cohar. You can call it a start. And air quotations. He got two batters out.
Now, what time is the show?
7:30. Late game. Yeah.
No, your show is at 7:30?
Yeah, dude. Late pregame. They're in Anaheim. So the game doesn't start until 8:30. Oh. Yeah, I agreed to this. And I realized, well, really, I was supposed to do it last night. And then last night, they played the NBA games. And Chad was like, hey, Sterling, see you Tuesday. We're pushing it back a day. I'm like, oh, great. I'm leaving early tomorrow morning to head to Colorado. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. Hate to say it's over there, but I'm going to dial in. Just, you know, I got the new phone, so I need to dial in and see how it sounds. So I'll call you beforehand just to make sure I'm not blasting through everything.
Yeah,
so.
Love it.
But on the flip side, though, NBA basketball, playoff basketball.
Yes, this is why I want to talk.
The Brooklyn Nets. Now, you know, it's funny. I thought about you last night because I started to text you, but I'm just not that dude. Well, I am.
You are that dude. I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, I started to text you at least a screenshot of the final.
You did that already. You did that with the Sixers Atlanta game. You sent me the box score.
That I did. That I did because I just want you to know we're one. You know,
one that down. One we have an actual bet on.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was thinking, I was like, damn, why didn't I bet this dude on another game or another series? But I got to ask you, you know, obviously the Brooklyn Nets, they led by as many as, I believe, 49 points or whatever.
Yeah,
I
mean, it was a beatdown.
What is the problem with this matchup? Do you think it's more so on Milwaukee's end? Do you think it's just because Brooklyn's home court advantage? I mean, why is Milwaukee struggling so bad?
They couldn't guard the three. I mean, the Nets went 21 of 42. 50% from three-point line.
That's better than what Atlanta did the other day.
I mean, exactly. I mean, that's absurd. And this is without James Harden, by the way. So if you were going to get one in Brooklyn, you had your shot. And it's not like Milwaukee's a bad defensive team. They should be good. And Giannis, if you watched, Giannis was on KD a decent amount and played some decent defense, but KD's too good. KD was 12 of 18, hand in his face. No guy who's almost 7 feet tall should have the handles, the smoothness that he has. It's ridiculous. I don't think it's really anything Milwaukee could do. It was what the Nets did.
You know, one of the things that I told you that always worries me about Milwaukee is the help that Giannis is supposed to have. Jrue Holiday, point guard, you know, he does what he's supposed to do. But I told you, my question mark has always been Chris Middleton. I think he started off like, what, 0-8 or something?
Yeah, he struggled.
So, I mean, again, we talked about, yeah, he had a great series against Miami. But if you're going to be the second all-star that dude, you got to come up and you got to show up to play. I mean, for all the grief that we give Paul George with the Clippers, he at least does show up. You know, I mean, he might struggle, but he'll contribute to in the box score in other manners. And so,
yeah, if Chris isn't scoring, he's not doing a whole bunch.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, and when it rains, it pours. And I know I was listening to our guy, Freddie Coleman, on his show last night after they were on our air, both stations. I was listening to that as I was getting something to eat, and I was sitting there listening, and he's, you know, like you said, you know, Chris, bro, if you're not going to show up and play, you know, they're not – Milwaukee doesn't stand a chance because outside of Giannis, you expect Chris to show up, and they actually have a version of the big three, I mean, but it's just not like the name. But, you know, but you do have two all-stars in Giannis and Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday. I mean, so Giannis has help. He has a team. Obviously, Dante DiVincenzo, you know, suffering the season and the injury in the first round, you know, that's going to have a little effect. But you still won without them. Now, Miami just might have been horrible. But it still doesn't negate the fact that they got their asses handed to them.
The biggest thing. Turnovers. 16-8 turnovers, 2-1. And then, again, the 3 points, they made 21 of 42. You go 8 of 27. They make almost as much as you attempted.
Yeah.
In today's NBA, if you're not forcing turnovers, you're letting them get up shots. The Nets shot 94 shots. I mean, and they're shooting at that high of a clip. And, again, I don't necessarily blame all of Milwaukee. I mean, even if Milwaukee has 8 turnovers. Say it turns, even if you're perfect and say it's all 2-pointers, that's 16 points, you're still getting absolutely shelled. You're losing by 20.
But again, now this goes back to what we talked about yesterday when I told you what happened in game one between the Sixers and the Hawks. They were a damn good shooting team. Again, if you got a team that shoots, that makes 23-point shots, that's 60 points. Ain't much you can really do off of that unless you're able to match them. And, of course, you know, look, they made, what, 63 points off of that, and it seemed like every shot they were taking. And to be quite honest, it wasn't as though, like, basically everybody got involved, and they got production off the bench as well. Now.
Yeah, Landry Shamet, Kansas City guy, played well.
Yep.
3 of 5 from three-point line, 16 minutes, plus minus. In that 16 minutes that Landry was in the game, his plus minus was plus 24. That's absurd.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving, of course, he was 22, and, you know, he played the role of James Harden, more or less, you know, but dishing out 6 assists. But Kevin Durant, you know, he did the same thing. And I actually thought Kevin Durant would get more rebounds than he did, but, of course, when you're leading by, you know, when you win by 39, you don't have to.
I mean, honestly, the Nets played a very well-rounded, great game. The Milwaukee, on the other hand, they couldn't hit anything. They turned the ball over. They, even if they were playing decent defense at times, it didn't matter. They were just hitting. It was just, if this is going to continue, Milwaukee can't compete. And that's what I'm starting to just look at this. The first two games, the biggest takeaway is the Nets are too good from three, and Milwaukee does not have enough three-point shooters. In a three-point-driven league, you have to play almost perfect, and Milwaukee has not played anywhere close to that.
The good thing is for them is they get a three. Well, they get a couple of days rest before they get a chance to play back home. But I'm not gonna lie, Sterling. I mean, I had the Nets winning, of course, and I got to win the title. But I didn't expect this first two games. I thought, I think we talked about it on Friday. I thought it would be a 7-game series, but the way they've dominated and they're playing as well without James Harden.
Yep.
That's the scary part. Like without James Harden, and he doesn't necessarily have to. His hamstring was, I guess, a lot worse. But so they sat him out to be on the safe side. Dude, I can see a scenario where they just might let him just rest his round. I mean,
sure.
I mean, especially if you can, you know, if they're hitting and they're shooting the shots and they're hitting the weight, because Kevin Durant can shoot anywhere. He shoot. So I expect him to continue to play a good game. As long as Kyrie's head is not in the clouds, you know, I expect him to have a good game Thursday night against Milwaukee. I just can't see a scenario now where I can see them getting swept, Sterling.
Yeah, I definitely can see Milwaukee getting swept now. I just – the Nets play such good, unselfish basketball with that much talent. That was always the issue was Kyrie, James Harden, Kevin Durant, were they going to fight over shots? Were they going to complain? Was someone going to say, I know I want to get my shots up this turn? We have not seen that one time.
But here's the thing. When they faced off during the regular season, wasn't like it was a different team. You know, maybe Blake and you know, but – I mean, but they truly, these games were going down to the wire. I mean, and the sheer fact that these have been blowouts, these first two games, doesn't really, you know, give me a lot of hope for Milwaukee in game three. Even though that game is at home, I'm pretty sure they'll probably have a packed, if so, a packed arena. That might help them. Again, I'm a big proponent of having fans in attendance. That could play a factor. So, you know what, if they don't pull it out, obviously, Thursday, then I think they're getting swept. But I think they still have a chance Thursday because they'll have fans in attendance and they'll be rooting for them versus Brooklyn. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say this game ends in five, or the series ends in five.
Yeah, I could easily see that. Just with Kevin Durant and how he has played, he is just so efficient. It's absurd. No guy should be this efficient. I mean, like, 12 of 18, 4 of 6 from the three-point line, 32 points in 33 minutes, and half the time doesn't even look like he's breaking a sweat.
Well, and that's always been a thing with him is that they've always said that he's not one that needs to be ball dominant because he can get his points, he can get his own shots, and he doesn't need as many shots, like you said, to be efficient. I mean, he can hit for 30 on just 12 shots. Now, I mean, obviously he took 18, but you know, and he got 32. But I can't remember how many free throws he might have shot last night. But he's that dude, man. And like I said, Kyrie Irving did well. I mean, they play good team basketball. And I keep telling people, from time to time, we talked about how bad they were early in the year with their defense. But hell, to negate that, if your offense is that explosive, that good, you don't have to worry about your defense.
Do you think Portland's kicking themselves for drafting Greg Oden over Kevin Durant right now?
Was that the same draft?
Yeah, I just looked it up because Durant went second.
Second overall. Yeah.
And I was like, Oden went first, didn't he? I looked it up. Man, Portland's had some bad luck with guys drafted.
Portland loves the big man.
They do. And LaMarcus Aldridge, and he didn't even stay that long. Brandon Roy. Yeah, I'm looking at this draft. It's funny, too. Obviously, he came out after his freshman season, so he's obviously young. But you forget that he's been in the NBA so long. He's the same draft as, like, Nick Young, Thaddeus Young. He's the same draft as Jared Dudley. Everyone thinks Jared Dudley's, like, 44 years old. Same draft as Kevin Durant.
Hey, man, I'm,
Aaron Aflalo, remember him?
No, but life on the road, you know, life on the road is look, I was talking with JC about that. It wasn't that he missed broadcasting. You know, I did it when I was in Lincoln University calling college football and basketball games, and I love traveling. I mean, I loved it. I mean, I loved all the free food, free hotels, and just kicking it, you know, before and after.
You're telling me Big Baby Glenn Davis is the same draft as Kevin Durant?
Oh, yeah, it's Big Baby. Now, how long has Kevin Durant been in the league?
Kevin, this is the 2007 draft. Kevin Durant's been in the NBA for 14 years. Doesn't that seem crazy? Like that, it seems like it's been like eight.
Yeah, but do you realize he spent 8 years with Russell Westbrook?
Yeah. I mean, like, we forget. He got drafted to Seattle. Like,
yeah, that was 2015. And that was 2015. 2016, no, I'm sorry, that was 2016. He was the last play with Russell Westbrook. Because 2017 and 18, he won the titles. Gosh, man, I'm just sitting there. Now I think about it, where did the time go, dude? I'm just sitting there thinking, like, in general, like, damn, I feel old now.
He's the youngest old guy. It's because his body still looks so young. He still looks like he's growing into his body. So that's why I think everyone still thinks he's like,
He's filled out compared to
where he was. Yeah.
Yeah, to where he was. Yeah, he was skinny. But man, I'm sitting there, dude. I'm sitting there literally thinking, where did the time go? I mean, look, it's still hard to believe. Literally 2 years ago, that the Chiefs were on their way to the Super Bowl, on their run. It's COVID has aged me, dude.
Dude, COVID was the weirdest year. Because it seemed like 7 years, but it also felt like 3
like
weeks.
I am legend. It's funny, you know, for somebody like me who watches Fear the Walking Dead, The Walking Dead, the next, whatever The Walking Dead remix is now, the third thing, and I Am Legend. I don't know why I watch stuff like that, but that's how I felt. And I was telling somebody, you know, when COVID first hit and being an essential worker, and, you know, I would go out to, what's that place called? Starts with a C, right across the street. Not Sam's Club, but what's it? Costco. Man, so I from time to time I realized, man, these highways are empty. I'm like, I can speed, and I have to worry about getting caught. Like, and I'm sitting thinking, like, that just got me thinking, you know, back to I Am Legend and Fear the Walking Dead, and The Walking Dead and stuff, where there's nobody around and stuff like that. And literally, you start to wonder, where does the time go? Because I'm sitting there thinking, like, I remember being in my home studio before I moved at my other house, you know, talking about Kevin Durant signing with the Golden State Warriors in 2016, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, and that was 5 years ago, and he spent 3 years in the last 2 years in Brooklyn. So, man, I'm getting old.
Yeah, I just can't believe he's been.
I wish you'd have never just brought that up.
07 Seattle. That's like Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis, Luke Ridenour.
That's LeBron James in the NBA Finals. Oh, first time, 2007.
That was like when I liked LeBron James. That's how long ago it was. Yeah, believe that. I used to like LeBron James until
I like LeBron James. He just ain't the GOAT. I mean, I ain't gonna take nothing away from him. He's just not the GOAT.
He's slowly watching LeBron complain nonstop has really just irritated
it's
me.
The air, man.
And the thing is, Luka Doncic better watch himself, or Luka's going to get in that same territory. Because Luka can.
Well, he's already in there, but also
James Harden.
Well, Jokic.
Jokic doesn't complain as much because Jokic, I think, legitimately gets fouled and just he's.
Well, LeBron legitimately gets fouled too, but.
But LeBron, I think, generates the contact. LeBron lowers his shoulder, bully balls.
But that's what I mean. His size, yeah. I mean, he's supposed to when you go. I mean, he's using that to his advantage. That ain't to say he's still getting fouled, though. I mean, a foul is a foul is a foul.
That's fair. And also, I don't like LeBron's games. That is, in my opinion, LeBron's game's not super aesthetically pleasing. Like Kobe Bryant, I think had just such a pleasing game to watch. Watching him play
different body types. I mean,
but
again,
it's so smooth. LeBron never seems that smooth to me. It seems almost.
Well, because
jerky, bulky.
Well, I mean, look, to
that's
LeBron,
like Kyrie.
To LeBron's credit, he's a prototype. I mean, the only person you can really compare him to was like Magic Johnson, but Magic Johnson didn't have his athleticism. He was that tall. He ran the point. He could rebound. He could assist. He could score when needed to. But he had so many scores on the team, he didn't have to. LeBron has always had to be the quote unquote Michael Jordan / Magic Johnson, where you know, they expect him to score 25, 30 points a game while getting 10 rebounds, while getting 10 assists. I mean, yeah, so you're asking a lot of for someone like him where he's got that, you know, he's got to have the body type, the prototype, and that's how, that's why he spends over $1 million a year on his body.
Which, if you think about how much he makes, not just counting his salary, it makes sense. You think more players, well, most players don't have the
well, in the NBA, that contract is guaranteed. Yeah. No, you don't have to. I mean, you make enough money where you can. I mean,
he's smart, man. LeBron is a smart dude.
Look at Vince Carter. Vince Carter finally retired. He played, what, 22?
41 years. 41, I think it was 41, I think, right?
Yeah, so he played 22 years in the league. So
LeBron is smart to take care of his body. He knows how to play the game. He knows what it takes to be successful.
To LeBron's credit, though, he's also trying to stay in the league long enough to play with his son.
Frank Gore is trying to do that in the NFL, I think.
Huh?
Frank Gore is trying to do that in the NFL.
Wow. When's the sun coming out?
I thought it was like Florida. Where is this? I think I'll check in the break. I thought it was like Florida State or something like that.
No. But, you know, there was another game last night as well.
Yeah. This game was good for three quarters. And then Phoenix just rolled in the fourth. Chris Paul took over. It's why he's nicknamed the point god. I mean, he took over in the fourth quarter. Unbelievable. I think the biggest takeaway, though, for me, the fans. The fans were phenomenal for Phoenix. It was such a exciting atmosphere. You could hear it through the TV. Just a fan base starved for anything successful. They finally have a team, a young core they can build around. They were wild, but in a good way. They weren't like the Boston fans. They weren't like the Utah fans. They weren't like the Sixers fans throwing stuff.
You know
They're
why?
They're passionate.
You know why? Because they believe they can win it all.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you knocked out the world champions last week, and we saw how crazy that game was because you had J.J. Watt there, Kyler Murray. You had so many stars there that it was like, and so, you know, you're starting to see that again because you know it's open back up, it's 100% out there. So now, you know, look, if you're smart, you're trying to make sure that that the fans are there because it's going to help your home team. Now, we'll see what happens with Denver, you know, as they go back there later on this week. But man, the fact that the Suns and the Nuggets, I thought DeAndre Ayton was going to have some issues last night.
Yeah,
I mean,
we talked about it going into the game last night. We go, it's going to go two ways. Either Ayton's going to be the one guy in the NBA able to stop Nikolai, or he's going to get eaten alive because he's so young. And my goodness, Ayton was on par with Jokic last night.
But it's like I told you. But, you know, like he did in the first, you know, I felt that Jokic would be some issues for him because he'd have to come out, he'd have to come out from down low. But to his credit, though, man, he's, you know, I think this is making him better as well. And here's the other thing, is what I said about the first round with this team. Because they beat him and because he played and because Ayton by himself played well against Jokic, that ain't gonna do nothing but build his confidence. And that was the thing about the first round against the Lakers. He played well the first two, three games against Anthony Davis. By being able to do that, I mean you get a team, you get a player who's never been to the playoffs that played, you know, in his mind plays that well. Well, now you know you can go out and you can put that type of contribution in every game. So I expect nothing less than 20-10 from this dude going further.
I mean, that's what it was he goes, all right. I hung with Anthony Davis. I can hang with Nikola Jokic. I can do it. And we saw that. I think two big takeaways of his defense was, one, he didn't bite on that pump fake a lot at the top of the key. I thought he would because he's a young guy, because Nikolai gets everyone with that pump fake. Him and Joel Embiid are very good at that for big men. And two, Jokic had zero free throws. Zero. He didn't get to the line once. That's telling me.
That's surprising.
Ayton played very good defense down low, straight up. Nothing easy. I mean, Nikolai went 10 of 23. No free throws. That is huge.
I can't remember. I thought Michael Porter had a decent first quarter. I know he made like a couple of three-point shots in
that
quarter.
The thing with Michael Porter is he's very streaky. He can get hot and he can carry your team. But he also takes so many poor shots. I mean, there was about three.
I would have said questionable, but.
Sure. Questionable is fine. But there was about three or four 3-point shots he took that I'm just sitting there going, set your feet. Like, you're 6'10", set your feet. Be comfortable with it. You have a great-looking shot. Don't force shots off of a screen. You're not J.J. Redick. You're Michael Porter Jr. Like, you're 6'10".
I think he still kind of doubts himself, man. And that's what. Look, man, this dude's 6'10". We know he can shoot. I mean, he's had great shooting period like he did last series against the Portland Trailblazers. I want him to develop. I need him. Honestly, man, I need him to develop a mean streak. I mean, because if he ever got it in his mind that he wanted to be aggressive and have a, you know, and have like a pissy attitude, and it translated that to the court, he would be dangerous, dude. I mean, he could literally be another LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, his size, his ability, his skill set, it's very extremely rare. It's transcendent. It's a building block. But you're right. He doesn't have that
mentality. He ain't got the dog in him.
And I don't think Kevin Durant necessarily has that in him, but Kevin Durant's also on another
Kevin,
level.
Kevin has it now. See, once he got that world title, because he did it, you know, like they talk about the shot he hit in LeBron's face 2 years in a row in game three of in both series in Cleveland. When he won that first title, that gave him a sense because now, yeah, you won an MVP, so you know you belong. But now you got that ring to kind of back it up. I know he says that, I guess he still didn't find happiness, and dude messed up in the head, you know, like yeah. that. But the fact that, you know, now he's got the killer because he knows what it takes to win. Like, maybe he just has, you know, maybe it's hard for the people to just go join a 73-win team and like, okay, that's how yeah. I win. But because he got those chips behind him and he's got the MVP, I mean, he's got now he plays more freely because he's like, I've gotten everything. I've done everything. I've won everything. So
I do think this Denver team would be much better, obviously, with Jamal Murray. But I think they would have a very good chance to win the finals this year, at least come out from the West. I don't think this year, just looking at this game and how it played out, if Ayton's going to go up and match with Jokic game in and game out like this, where it's a wash, the Suns are going to win because...
Oh, yeah, because they just have too many reliable players.
Outside of MPJ, I mean, are you going to say Austin Rivers is going to take over? Are you going to tell me...
Yeah, they all...
Composo
they all
is going to
take... spurts, like Austin yeah. Rivers having that great game against the Trailblazers, you know, that kind of clinched for... I mean, it could be so much worse if you're the Denver Nuggets, but
they've already both these two teams I think have gone farther than most people expected after the
injuries.
Well,
nobody expected Phoenix to beat the Lakers.
No one expected that, and I think everyone expected once Jamal Murray went down, Denver was going to all of a sudden probably end up as a 7 seed.
I actually thought that they played better without him because. For me, Jamal Murray,
Morris has stepped up.
But Jamal Murray, he's also too streaky. So, I mean, if you go back and look at the composite box scores from time to time throughout the season, and you look and see some of Jamal Murray's performance, I think he might have had one 50-point game this season. But if you look at a lot of the other games, he's a very streaky shooter. I mean, he does not shoot the ball well. And because I remember very vividly, man, there was a game – I think that even Charles Barkley got on this dude like and was saying that he wasn't as good as he was in the bubble. And that's my deal with him because I just thought he was I thought he was just questionable this season. I try to continue to believe the hype from what he did last year in the bubble. My parlays didn't work out like that because, you know, and I was expecting him to hit like 18 or 21 points. It wasn't like I expected him to go home.
He averaged 21 points per game this year in the 48 games. He averaged 21.2. He shot 40% from three, 40.8%, 87% free throw, and then basically 48 from the field. I mean, that's good.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's great. I mean, that's a massive loss to your team that right now is getting filled in by Austin Rivers. He's been okay. But he was coming.
I mean,
the Knicks.
Don't forget, we did praise Austin Rivers last week. So,
sure, he did. But Austin Rivers will have one good game. Jamal Murray is going to be consistently better and has the potential to explode.
I would hope at the end of the day that players that get the opportunity. I mean, look, man, this is what the playoffs, this is where you can make your name in the playoffs. Those that, you know, if you're seven, if you're also over to someone, you've got to be able to show that you can play at this stage and play at a high level. One, I'm just thinking play at a high level because it's going to work out for you when it comes contract time. That's to me. I wouldn't need any other reason than that except for the fact it's a prideful thing. But
basically the entire Suns team has. Mikal Bridges.
Oh, yeah.
From Nova, been unbelievable. 23 points, 8 of 12 in this game. And then obviously Chris Paul, Devin Booker. Devin Booker's been outstanding.
He only scored like 21 last night. I was kind of
okay, yeah. 21, but on 8 of 12 shooting.
No. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying. I mean, I because of how close the game was initially, I thought he would score more. I thought he would score like 30-some points or whatever.
They had four guys who scored 20 more.
20 or more, yeah. And I think all were in the starting lineup as well.
They all were, and then Jay Crowder had 14. So that's
Chris Paul spreading the ball around. You know, I mean, that's
– Booker did too. He had 8. Between Chris Paul and Devin Booker, that's 19 assists. I mean, that is just a very good backcourt, very unselfish.
That's hard to beat.
That 4-point play that Devin Booker had when the crowd just went absurd, that was like the game. I mean, that was one of the most exciting plays in sports have gone back with fans was that play. Because you knew it was going in. Like, the second left his hand, you saw the foul, you go, this ball's going in, isn't it? And then, of course, the crowd just explodes. It was just amazing.
Now that I think about it, I'm kind of disappointed that Portland didn't advance. I'm going to be in Oregon this week. I'm like an hour and a half from Portland. I could have probably gone to the game.
You could have. Not anymore.
Couldn't have gone anyway, man. I'm not paying no ticket price.
Well, Darren, let's take a break. We'll come back, talk more NBA. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
Yeah. Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect.
Uh-huh. You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
Girl, I must warn you.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. Yeah, but a different song. Last time we what did we play yesterday? Doing Me? Or Do Me? We played Do Me yesterday. Poison Today. I don't know. Bell Biv DeVoe just seems like a good choice.
Spider-Matic poison, baby boy. It's in effect.
Yo, Darren, you ready?
Dude, I'm ready to get some parlays in for tonight, man.
All right, let's go. First game, Atlanta in Philadelphia against the Sixers. Atlanta took game one. They played phenomenal game one. They almost blew it down the stretch. A wild finish, but they were able to hold on. How do you see tonight playing out?
Well, I took Atlanta. I mean, I gave them the points. I gave them 6 points. So they could lose as long as they don't lose by six or more. Well, lose by seven or more, I'll be fine. I could see, I don't know, man, because I'm going to go with Atlanta. I mean, that's my team. I got them winning the series. But I guess the question would be is how do they respond? Because they almost gave, you know, they had a big lead. They almost blew the game, but they were to maintain and they won it. So it seemed like they threw almost the kitchen sink at them because they adjusted in how they defended Trae Young. Still didn't work. I mean, it worked, but it didn't work because they won the game. But I would, if they come out hitting those 3-point shots like they did, I don't know whether or not they can do 23-point shots again. We'll see. But if they can do, if they can at least, I think Trae Young's up for the challenge. I'm going to go with him. I think it's going to go down to the wire. But I think, man, I'm going against my own self. I'm going to go with Philadelphia to tie the series up tonight. I don't think that they get off to such a bad start like they did in game number one. But I do think the game is close the entirety of the game, and they pull it at the end. I'm taking Atlanta with the points, but I'm gonna go with Philly for the win.
I have Sixers, and I've been covering. I think Sixers hammered them. I think they figured out what was wrong in that fourth quarter, and they just completely befuddled, confused the Hawks. They started off historically bad that game. The Sixers did.
Question is going to be whether or not the Hawks, you know, if they felt like we won game one, oh, that's enough.
Sure. And just I don't think they will, but just to me, I think the Sixers realized how they are going to defend them. They're going to put pressure on them, extreme pressure, and I think Embiid is going to come out pissed. I think Embiid is going, I am not going to go down 0-2 at home. We saw how it was.
He had 39 and, what, 13. That's a regular game now.
Just for him, though, after how – was that last year, 2 years ago, the Kawhi – that was the 2 years ago, the Kawhi ending. He was pissed. I think he has too much pride. He has too much of that instinct, that mentality of I am going to win at whatever cost. I think we see him just have a ridiculous game.
I wonder, though, if to keep from going out of hand, if they start hacking Ben Simmons.
Could. I mean, they could. And that's, again, that's been a big issue all playoff long. It hasn't necessarily hurt the Sixers because obviously they've gotten to this point with Simmons. And Simmons has played well. It's not like Simmons is playing bad. He just can't shoot free throws. And I don't know if they're going to have to take him off and play. I don't even know. You're not going to put Matisse Thybulle in because he can't really shoot free throws either. You know, if you're going to have to put Danny Green, Seth Curry. But then you lose a lot defensively. You lose a lot defensively when you play Tyrese Maxey instead of Ben Simmons, and that's an issue.
I want to see what kind of bench play they get from Kevin Huerter and a few others. Again, Bogdanović, John Collins, Clint Capela. I mean, they have a great starting five. I mean, and you don't ask them to do much but just do their job. Clint Capela, you know, I didn't realize. I think he's only like 6'8". I thought he was a 7-foot monster, but he plays big, but. I mean, he does the dirty work. He had, 11 points, 10 rebounds. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, going up against Joel Embiid, who had 39 and 12 or whatever. So, I Trae Young's going to have another big game. Now, since he's got to score 35 points, but I think he needs double-digit assists in the game for them to win.
I also think, you know me, I'm big on numbers and trends and all that. Sixers were 29-7 at home this season. They are historically fantastic at home. They have in the past, ever since they got good. Ever since the process ended, the Sixers have become historically good at home.
But they're horrible on the road.
Exactly. They're at home.
But
I think that the history tells us they're going to win this game.
But here's the thing. They lost home court advantage.
I know, it's big.
So, all Atlanta has to do is hold serve. Like they can. That's the reason why I'm taking them in this game. I'm taking them with the points. I may do something else where I give Philly the points, but I got to say, man, I mean, all they have to do, they can afford to, you know, go home tie 1-1. All they have to do is just hold court. All they got to do is just win their games at home.
It's tough.
So you got it going over or under 224. I know the last game was 250. I think it was 252.
I would say over again. I mean, the Sixers have been averaging, I think, 124 points per game in the playoffs. I mean, the Sixers have been fantastic offensively, which has been a little bit of a surprise because I think, to me at least, they should be focused more on defense with who they have, with some of their bench guys. Obviously, Seth Green is poor defensively, but he's been outstanding offensively, and Tobias Harris has been on an absolute heater all playoffs long. I'd probably take the over in this game.
Yeah, I mean, they can. We'll see. Atlanta showed they can score, but they also showed they can play defense as well. I mean, with what they did against the Knicks, but the Knicks, they don't have as high power offense as the Philadelphia 76ers.
No, the Knicks were we're bringing rocks to a fight, and hopefully we can injure you more than you injure us.
Yeah, but again, you know, I want to see what Atlanta what their bench can do in tonight's game, and I mean, if they can at least put up a good showing, I'm not gonna change. I'm gonna go with Philly, but I'm gonna give Atlanta the 6 points. I think it's gonna be close.
Second game tonight, Clippers at Utah. How's this one shake down?
Well, they're going to be without Mike Conley, the point guard. He's got a sore leg. I am going to go Utah at home. I think this is going to be a real good series. I think because I want to see how the Clippers come off of their series win, seven game series win against the Dallas Mavericks. Whether or not it took a lot out of them, you know, because you have to, you know, the first game was always, you know, you're trying to size each other up. I just think how you talked about Sterling, how you talked about Phoenix and their fans. You don't think Utah's fans are going to be rabid tonight?
Sure. I mean, Utah.
They're going to be ignorant tonight.
Utah has been about the best team, record-wise, all season long.
They're going to be ignorant. I think you might even get Mitt Romney to come in town for that game. And Mitt Romney, you know, his form of trash talking on the sidelines.
Jimmer Fredette may come into town.
Who?
Remember Jimmer Fredette?
No.
From BYU? How have you ever watched basketball and never heard of Jimmer Fredette?
I don't watch BYU.
You don't remember the Jimmer, Kimba, Norris Cole?
No.
You don't remember that year in college basketball?
No.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
When he was pulling up from like 40 feet all season long, averaging like 38 a game.
Did they win a national title?
They lost to...
So the answer is no.
They lost in the Elite Eight to, I think, Florida.
Nah.
You don't remember this? You literally don't remember this.
I really don't.
Do you just not watch college basketball?
I didn't watch BYU.
No. Like, this was on TV everywhere. Like, this was Jimmer Mania.
Well, no, my two.
He made it to the NBA, too, drafted 13th overall, something like that.
Is he still shooting for 40 feet?
Yeah, in China.
There you
averaging
go.
40-something a game, put up 70.
There you go.
Do you seriously not know who he is?
I have no idea whatsoever.
Do you know who Norris Cole is?
Yes, I know Norris Cole is, but yes. I don't know the other guy.
That's wild.
No, it's not.
No, this is like saying you don't know The Simpsons. Like, you've never heard of The Simpsons before.
Dude, do not put that dude in the same category as The Simpsons.
It is, though.
It is not, Sterling.
You know who God Sham God is and don't know who...
God Sham God is from my era.
This was like... I'm shocked because I've never heard, like, anyone who's ever watched basketball not know who Jimmer is. He was like Adam Morrison.
Okay.
Do you know who Adam Morrison is?
I do know who Adam Morrison is.
Same thing. It was like Steph Curry in college. Like, this is what it was.
Well, no, Sterling. BYU was not allowed on my television at that time, so no.
Well, they were very good. They were a top, probably 10-ranked, top 20-ranked team all.
They didn't win, so it don't matter.
It does matter. Watch history.
Anyway, but going back to the game, it's going to be tough, man, because I expect Donovan Mitchell to have a hell of a game. I think Joe Ingles is going to be starting in play. I think Ingles is going to start in place of Mike Conley. Jordan Clarkson, I expect him to come off the bench, six man. I expect him to play well. Rudy Gobert, I think he's going to, you know, kind of clog up the middle. You're not going to see him, you know, you're not going to see that 7'3" guy outside of the three-point line shooting jump shots. He's the defensive player of the year. He's going to be down low, you know, trying to clog up the paint. I like this matchup. I want to see how Ty Lue, I want to see what Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and, you know, look, whether or not, you know, the Morris twin is going to be able, Markieff Morris is going to be able to hit some three-point shots. It's going to be a lot of three-point shots tonight. That much I can promise you. It's going to be a lot of three-point shot attempts tonight.
Yeah, 100%. This will be fun. I honestly don't know who's going to win. I'm going to go with Utah because they are at home. Game one, I like Utah, even without Mike Conley. But the Clippers are playing really good. Their last five games, they've won four of them. And they've played good defense. Kawhi is starting to turn it on. Paul George has been pretty solid. But if they keep getting consistent help from their bench or from Markieff, one of the Morris guys, or from Nick Batum or Terrence Mann, if Luke Kennard can all of a sudden keep doing what he's doing, then yeah, the Clippers are going to be a phenomenal team. But if they all struggle and it's only Kawhi, the Clippers are an interesting team, to say the least. Like, the Utah Jazz have so many guys. They're so deep. They have basically eight guys they can throw at you. You're like, oh, that's a very good NBA player. But they don't have Kawhi. They don't have Paul George and Donovan Mitchell are on probably about the same level. They don't have that Kawhi. They don't have the top-end talent. But what they are is they have the depth. The Utah Jazz have that unselfish nature. They know how to build their team. They know their roles.
Again, I know this is going to be a three-point shooting game because Utah, they probably led the league in three-point shots. Damn near all their players shoot threes. The Clippers, they led the league in three-point percentage. So, I expect a high-scoring game tonight. I don't know how much defense is going to be played, but, yeah, this is going to be interesting to say the least, my friend.
Who did you end up going with?
I got Utah in this first game. I got Utah in the opening game.
All right, so we agree. Do you have them covering the three?
Utah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I got them in. I got it going over.
So you got over 220.5.
I got what?
221 is what you're saying, basically.
Yes.
Does that go well over or just it scrapes by?
I think it goes well over. Because I think, you know, I think because of the amount of three-point shots is going to be taken, that's why I'm going in that direction.
The last four games for Utah, the least they've scored in a game is 120. 126, 120, 121, and a 141. I get it against Memphis. Memphis is not known for their defense. I get it. They still have that grind city mentality, but they were not a great defensive team this year comparatively. But Utah's just so damn good offensively.
They're good. And look, they also have – the Clippers have depth as well, but they're going to have to score. They're going to have to score a lot of points to beat Utah because Utah, they're going to put the points up. And because of how – I'm telling you, that – dude, people have no idea when I say how the crowd can make or break, you know, a team or a game or whatever. Because they're, you know, the number one seed, you know the Lakers aren't, you know, going to win the title again. You get a chance to actually go there and represent the West. Man, I'm telling you, it's going to be asinine up in that place tonight. And again, the fans, they're just going to be ignorant.
Well, that's the thing is, every single team with the Lakers out feels like they have a legitimate shot of winning a national title this year, or at least going there.
Title. I'm going to give them a world title.
You'll go world because of Toronto?
No, I'm just saying because a national title is college.
Sure.
And no, sure, that's just what it is. It's a world title.
I agree. You're correct. But I always find it funny when it's only played in America, in Toronto.
You mean North America?
Sure.
Okay.
No, I agree with you. I just always makes me laugh. It always because we obviously know any other team from any other country around the world is getting just absolutely crushed, but they don't play. We're not playing Czechoslovakia, you know. Like,
thankfully,
we're not seeing a team from Hungary.
Thankfully, we're not playing them.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, finish the show.
We're not playing that team from China, so the guy can hit 70 against
Jimmer. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Again, last show of the week for us as Darren heads to Oregon. I head to Colorado. Both of us heading out west like it's the 1850s. Darren, anything fun? Anything fun tonight?
Besides me hopefully trying to win this parlay.
You need to win with your plane ticket price.
Man, I'm only like thinking about that. That's a lot of damn money. I really hope she qualifies for Olympics, or at least the Olympic trials this week. At least make the trip worth it. I mean, it's worth it anyway. But I got to say, I mean, I'm just looking forward to it, man. I'm actually looking for – I've never been to Oregon before. It's not like it's some exotic location.
Dude, I thought the same – so when I went, I was like, I don't know what to expect. It was the most beautiful state I've ever been to. Not Portland. Portland's, I hate Portland. Like, I can't stand Portland. It's like let's make a really cool city, but give it terrible weather and graffiti and, like,
terrible weather.
And can people complaining about, like, dude, the people are just, hey, can I get a beer? Sure, man. You're going to have to wait like 70 minutes outside. And for some reason, our menu is printed on a piece of paper. Well, of course, it's raining outside because it's Portland. Yeah, don't get me started on it.
So I should expect a lot of rain?
Yeah, for parts. It's mostly just like overcast. But it should be fine. It's summertime now, man.
Well, look, man, congratulations to your people for getting married.
Yeah, I need to get him a gift, by the way. For those of you listening and, like, know me, this is no surprise. I am so bad at, like, remembering to do normal things adults do. I completely forgot to give him a gift. So, Aaron, Rachel, if you're listening, sorry. You get one. It'll get to your house probably after the wedding. I figure you don't bring it anyways. It's like
just
a
Cash App.
Just get
no, seriously,
Venmo.
I mean, people can always use money.
Hey, smart man.
Bro, just, you know, spend it on honeymoon, cruise, whatever they're doing.
Well, Darren, have a safe trip out
Likewise,
to Oregon.
You too.
Tell your daughter congratulations. That's phenomenal. This was Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. We are out for the week. We'll be back on Monday. We are out.